Proverbs offers us skill in the art of godly living, and it shows us how we can reflect God's glory in our life, particularly in our relationships. But there is a big difference in going to the book of Proverbs looking for advice and looking for wisdom. And so today what we want is wisdom from God. Seeking wisdom instead of just merely advice requires more work. It requires more heart work, but guys, it is worth it. The wisdom that is found in the book of Proverbs is far less about what we must do and more about what we must embrace. Namely, that wisdom comes from God, and the only way that we have it is when we see Him rightly and order our lives in accordance to who He is. This means that if you turn to the book of Proverbs simply to get advice for life, then you've missed the point. It's a book about Christ and about how Christ is the wisdom of God, and for us to walk the way of wisdom means that we orient our lives around Him. Today we're looking at wisdom for children. But this is not going to be a top 10 best practices for parenting, because this is not an advice column. This is a prayerful look at God's Word, asking Him to speak to us in order that we might know the truth and order our lives so that we might walk in it. Wise parenting isn't about control. It isn't about perfection. It's about faithfully shepherding our children with the gospel, trusting that God will work in their lives and in their hearts. And so we'll turn to God's Word. I hope you have your copy with you. We're in Proverbs, specifically chapter 22. We're going to read verse 6. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it." Other translations like the ESV translate that very same verse like this: "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And so as we seek the Lord this morning through his word, I believe that it is vitally important for each of us that we understand at the beginning this, that wisdom should be learned at home. That wisdom is what our homes need to be teaching. It's the place that God has ordained. It is the biblical pattern that our homes are where we communicate truth about God. It reminds me of a story I once heard of a young mother with a little daughter. And they were working together in the kitchen trying to create one of those memories. You know what I'm talking about? And so they're cooking together, and they were cooking a ham for the holidays. And so the little girl had all sorts of questions, as kids often do. And one question really stumped the mother, because she said, "Mom, why did you cut the end of the ham off before you prepped it?" And the mom said, "Well, I don't know. That's just the way I was taught to do it." But being unsatisfied with the answer, the questions continued to the point where she said, let's find out. So they picked up the phone and they called the grandmother. They said, "Why, when we're cooking ham, do we cut the end off of the ham?" She said, "I don't really know. That's just the way I was taught." And so in this situation, they had the chance, and so they said, "We gotta know." So they piled in the car and they drove to the great-grandmother's house. And they walked into the living room and they said, "Grandmommy, why do we cut the end of the ham off?" And she said, "I don't know why y'all do it. I'd never had a pan that was big enough for a whole ham." And so the things that we learn at home, they stay with us. Without a doubt, it is the home that has the most profound effect on our thinking and what we believe to be true. The home is always the place where we are most profoundly shaped, which is why Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us that these words that I'm giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your city gates. Guys, we've got to know that the home is so important. It's the place where the wisdom of God is learned. It's the place where the wisdom of God is translated to the next generation so that they might know how to walk in wisdom. There's a number of studies out there that confirm to us what we know to be true. Barna Group did an extensive study several years back and concluded that parents are the ones with the single greatest influence on a child's moral and spiritual development. The top four influences, according to this study, were parents, and then secondly, friends, church leaders, and teachers and coaches. But the interesting thing is those bottom three combined did not equal the same weight, the same amount of influence that a parent does. I don't know if you've ever heard this phrase. You might have, but I hope that you will hear the truth in it, that more is caught than is taught. You ever heard that? You ever said that? It's this reality that our homes are impactful, that parents shape their children, and they see what's happening. And truly, more is caught than is taught, which is why our goal as parents can't just merely be to teach about God. We've got to actually show God in our lives and through our lives. We've got to have a home where the wisdom of God is not just learned, but it is embraced. And the sad reality is this: you cannot show someone what you do not have for yourself. Because no amount of church attendance, no good deeds, no amount of moral behavior could ever make up for our sin. You cannot teach your children to walk with God if you are not willing to walk with God yourself. And so before we go any further, a question we've asked every single week, but it we find ourselves right here again, is this: are you following Jesus? Do you have a personal relationship with him that is based on faith and repentance and by his grace? Listen, not does the person next to you know about Jesus. I'm not asking if you like Jesus or if you know a bunch about him. I'm asking, do you follow him? Do you know him? Is your life built on him? Because the truth is this: if you are not following Jesus, then you are leading your family to hell. Like, that's the reality of this. And praise God that Jesus can intervene in anyone's life, and he does. And he seeks and he saves. But for us today, desiring to be Christian parents, we need to feel and hear the seriousness of the responsibility we have to have a home where the wisdom of God is not only taught but embraced. Start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. Guys, wisdom should be learned at home. And the thing that flows out of that is this reality, is that time at home is limited. That time at home is limited. What we have is in short supply. In fact, we're not even promised tomorrow. The New Testament letter that James writes actually describes life as a vapor. In James chapter 4, he says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will travel to such and such a city and spend a year there and do business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be, for you are like vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes." All right. If time at home is limited, what do we need to know? We need to know that we cannot waste a single moment. We do not have time to waste. We have a mission, and the time is short. That means whatever phase your kids are in, whatever phase your grandkids are in, whatever that is, it is just that. It's a phase, and it's short, and we cannot waste time. There are days that I feel this more profoundly than others. It is very hard for me to wrap my head around right now that I have a 10-year-old when it doesn't make sense. Yesterday, I was holding her in my arms. Like, I know that it even goes faster as the days go on. But guys, this is the reality in which we live. And so if you are here today and you do not have kids at home, I'm telling you, I want you to make it your mission to encourage those that do. Maybe that's the season of life you're in. Maybe that's just the situation you're in. Here's the deal. At this church, we've got to encourage one another, because raising kids is exhausting. but it's also short. And there is no time to waste. And my prayer is that we would be the kind of group, the kind of church, that no matter who walks through the doors, that we are intentional about encouraging one another. That the church body would be like a track coach, yelling and shouting at the runners to keep going. Because that's what we have the chance to be for one another. When someone walks in and needs encouragement, we get to tell them, keep running. There's only 3 laps left. Don't quit. There's only 2 laps left. Don't stop now. There's only 1 lap to go. Give it your all. We have the chance for every generation to encourage one another. Why? Because our mission is critical. This is important, and time is short. And so if you find yourself in a season or a situation without kids at home, it is entirely possible in a church that is large for you to never actually rub shoulders with families that are in the middle of those parenting years. And so if that's you, I would just encourage you, may that not be the case for us. May we be a group that knows one another, that is intentional about reaching out. And if you don't know a family who's got kids at home parenting them right now, find them. They're here. And one of the best things you can do, church family, is to be intentional and to make the choice to serve in our children's ministry. This next year, as we make plans, listen, you need to be a part of it. There are people here who have never served in children's ministry, and I don't say that because, man, we're hurting. Wow, we got to find somebody. No, listen, I say it because the mission is critical. And if you, I'm not talking about signing the dotted line where you're indefinitely serving. Like, don't. But listen, if you've never served, I think you need to, because this is vitally important. And so maybe you're a parent today, maybe you're a grandparent. Maybe, listen, I'm just trying to make it through life. But maybe you're in one of those seasons and you feel like you're just treading water. I get that life is difficult and there are troubles and trials. But we can't tread water. Guys, we're in a race. We've got to run, and we've got to run together. We've got to run in such a way that we're encouraging one another to pursue the Lord and to pursue the mission that we're on. James Thompson says it like this. He says, don't let these parenting years get away from you. Your contributions to your children and grandchildren could rank as your greatest accomplishments in life. Guys, I believe that's true. I believe that's true if you're talking about nieces and nephews, if you're talking about neighbors, if you're talking about kids in your class, if you're talking about people where you work. Listen, you have the chance to make an impact. Scripture says, start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. So wisdom should be learned at home, and time at home is limited. So what do you need to do right now, today, to make the most of the time that you have? What do you need to do? What do you need to prioritize? Where do you need to be more intentional than ever before? The truth is this. Because wisdom is learned at home and time is limited, our homes must belong to the Lord. That's the bottom line. Our homes must belong to God. Wisdom starts at home and time is limited. So you absolutely can begin working on this too late, but you can never start working on this too early. We have got to prioritize seeking the Lord. By nature, we have a desire to love our children dearly. But unless we are building our home upon Scripture, unless we're going to God's Word, we don't know how to love them wisely. And the only way that we can love them wisely is by showing them what being a disciple of Jesus Christ is truly all about. When parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles and friends and neighbors choose to follow the Lord, what they are doing is creating a spiritual heritage that will bless those around them. Now the truth is, this verse, Proverbs 22:6, has regrettably produced shame over the years in many Christian parents. And the reason is because it seems to promise a guaranteed outcome. It seems to say that if you will start your children out on the way they should go when they're young, that when they're old, they won't deviate from it. On the other hand, if you do a poor job, they will turn from the Lord. Meaning, however your kids turn out is really based on how you parented them. But if that's you, if that's what you're thinking and feeling, what I want to offer you today is this. This verse is more of a warning than it is a promise. It's a warning. Let's look at it together. It says, start a youth out on his way. Even when he grows old, he will not depart from it. This is the CSB, the Christian Standard Bible. It's one of my favorite translations. I think it does a great job of being very true to the text, faithful to the text, and understandable. But here in particular, I think it really captures the essence well of this verse, that we are to start a youth on his way. The implication is, if that way is not a way, not a path that honors the Lord, submits to the Lord, then it will be a path of self-indulgence, and it'll be a path that they will pursue with their lives, that they will continue to walk in. The warning of Proverbs, despite the messaging that our society puts out there, especially Disney movies and the like, the message of Proverbs, the warning is this, that following your own path, your own heart, your own way, is the epitome of foolishness. Doing what is right in your own eyes leads to death. Go read Proverbs 14, verse 12. This means, let's bring it back to parenting, that as a parent, I have got to see my role as one of correcting and training so that my child sees the way of wisdom. In this way, the primary role of a Christian parent is that of an ambassador. You're an ambassador for the Lord. If you are a Christian parent today, that means we must wake up each and every day with the awareness that our home belongs to the Lord, that it belongs to God. Therefore, everything I do, everything I say, every place I go, every rule I enforce, everything I do as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. The way that we understand that our homes belong to the Lord is by seeing our role as not an owner, but an ambassador. Let me share with you what Paul would write in the New Testament. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away, and see, the new has come. Everything is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. I trust that you took note of verse 20. This is a section of a passage that is incredibly rich. But verse 20 just says it outright. We are ambassadors. We're ambassadors for Christ. You know what an ambassador doesn't do? He doesn't own the house. You know what an ambassador doesn't do? He doesn't get to make the rules. He just is a representative. Listen, this means that even our own children don't belong to us. They belong to the Lord, and we are called to steward this responsibility, to represent Christ to them, which means more than anything else, we must see that our children's greatest need is an understanding about the good news of Jesus Christ. That they would see that he is the Savior that they need most. Our role is not simply behavior modification. If that is your only objective, you will turn your children into Pharisees or rebels. That's the alternative. When the threats and the rewards run out, our goal as Christian parents is to see life transformation through the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to see him made new. We want to see him counted as a part of God's family. In this way, Proverbs actually tells us that discipline is evangelism. Look at Proverbs 23. It says, don't withhold discipline from a youth. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod, and you will rescue his life from Sheol. Because what we have to see here, if we want a home that belongs to God, is that we are here on a rescue mission. Like, that's our purpose, to step in and rescue children from hell and from the path that leads them there. Instead, showing them the way of wisdom, showing them that they have, yes, fallen short of God's standard, but Jesus has made a way for them to be forgiven. That is our goal. So look right here. What does this mean for us? It means don't lose heart and don't waste a moment. Like, that's what this leads to. We do not lose heart. We do not give in to despair, but we do not waste a single moment. I'm really thankful, and I believe truly that the power of God is not limited to big events or to dramatic experiences. I really believe that God is at work in the ordinary, everyday moments of life. You know what that means? That's good news for parents. That's good news for parents of toddlers. That's good news for parents of teenagers. That's good news for any person who's drawing breath today. How about that? That God is at work in all things. Our challenge is to see that everything, even and especially those things that we would consider mundane, that in the hands of the Lord, that those are used to transform us and to shape us into God's the image of His Son. See, God is at work in these ordinary details. Everyday parenting situations, your drive to work, conflict, fatigue, whatever it is, God is in it and moving and working to shape us. But we must acknowledge who He is, what He is doing, and let go of the reins. Each and every moment, no matter how small, is an opportunity for God to speak and for God to work in our lives. Praise God that He works through the mundane to accomplish that which is miraculous. We must be willing to surrender and to let Him do it. And so, guys, if wisdom should be learned at home, what is your home teaching? What is the lesson that your life is communicating to those that are closest to you? Guys, if time is limited, then what are you doing to make the most of it? You could be a family of one or a family of a ton. You've been given gifts, you've been given resources, you've been given time, and we must use it wisely because there's a critical mission that God has called us all into. And if our homes belong to the Lord, what is it in your home and in your life that you're acting like you're actually the owner, that you're the one in charge, instead of surrendering these things and allowing the Lord to work in them and through them, and in particular, as it relates to the next generation, teaching our children to know the Lord, to follow the Lord, and to pursue Him. Proverbs 22:6. Before we close, let me just give you a couple thoughts. This verse, let it produce vigilance, not guilt. Not guilt. I believe that when the Holy Spirit rightly applies this verse to our lives, it is vigilance that ought to be the product. Vigilance to pursue Him. Vigilance to understand that we cannot have a laissez-faire attitude when it comes to discipline and raising our children, but rather we have a great responsibility to help them see the foolishness that is in their heart and the way of wisdom that is found in Christ. And we do this recognizing that we cannot control the outcomes. Pause. Let me say it again. You cannot control the outcome. Boy, I wish I could control the outcome. I wish this was a guarantee of results, right? That if you do this, then X, Y, Z will happen. This is not what this is. This is a call for us to take full advantage of what God has given us and what God is doing and to work hard to pursue the Lord in such a way that our children know Him. And if you have grown children who have gone astray, hear this. The same application point applies to you. To not let guilt have its way in your heart. but rather for vigilance to be the thing that you walk out of here today. Vigilance in prayer. Vigilance in seeking the Lord. Not letting guilt have any room, because the enemy wants you to hear, feel guilt so that you think it's too late and they're too far gone and it's over. But only God gets to say when it's over. And so, church, listen, if you are here today and that is your story of a grown child who is not walking with the Lord, you pursue them through prayer. You pursue them every opportunity you have, not giving guilt a single foothold in your life, but rather seeking the Lord, which is the second thing I want to say. This verse ought to produce in us a God focus instead of a me focus. And really, this is true of all of Scripture. But think about parenting. Think about parenting. Listen, there's nothing I could actually do in my power to transform the heart of one of my daughters and to capture their heart. There's no rule I can enforce. There's no behavior that I could encourage that would transform them at the level that they most desperately need it. Only Christ can do that. And so this verse ought to lift our eyes upward so that we fix our minds and our hearts and our eyes on Jesus, knowing that he's the only one who can transform a life and that he has the power and the desire to do it. That means every day I wake up and I remind myself, I'm not the Savior. You are not the Savior. You cannot save your own children. We are guides. We are ambassadors. We are those who point to the way. And listen, the whole time that we are seeking to parent well, we've got to remember that we are being parented by a loving God who wants to transform us into the image of his son. And so it is true that children learn the most by what they see in front of them. And so let me ask you this, no matter what season of life you're in, no matter what stage or circumstance, when people look at you, when children see you, when your home sees you, when your coworkers see you, do they see Christ? Do they see Christ in the way that you lead? Do they see Christ in the way that you forgive? Do they see Christ in the way that you work? Do they see Christ in the way that you rest? If you are not training those around you in the way of godliness, then you're training them in the way of the world, which is the way of foolishness. Proverbs 22:6 is not a promise of guaranteed outcomes. It is a call to faithful, intentional, gospel-focused parenting. Wisdom for parenting is about heart transformation, not just behaviors. And I get it. We like for our children to behave. I'm in that boat. But our goal has to be deeper. Our goal has to be greater. Our goal has to be for them to see in us and through us that Jesus is the Savior and the Savior that they need most. And so a little different way to close, but I'd like to read to you some lyrics of a song that has just meant the world to me through the years. I'm not going to sing it for you. You're welcome. That's not why I was brought here. So I know my place. So I'm going to read it, but I would encourage you to look it up later. As a dad of three girls, this one, it means a lot to me. It's called The One You Need. Just hear this. The song goes, "Hey, hey, sweet daughter, I'm so proud to be your father. Each day is like a gift from God. Hey, hey, sweet daughter, there's no music like your laughter, and your smile is like the rising sun. You know I've loved you from the start, so come in close, take my hand while Daddy shares his heart. I wish that I could be your everything, be the one to give you all the things you need, but sometimes I'm gonna let you down. There's someone, if you just believe, he'll be your hero like he's always been for me. Darling, Jesus is the one you need." I'm telling you, the melody only makes it better. But what you need to hear, church, is this. Jesus is the one you need. It is so easy for us in the just the minutiae of life, whether that be parenting or work or grandparenting or whatever, to get so focused on the task. And tasks are important, and we all want to do a good job. But what we can't lose sight of is the truth that it's all about Jesus. That He is the one that they most desperately need. He is the one that I most desperately need. And so everything that we're going to do in the next few days with the hundreds of children who come, the reason that VBS and all of it is happening, the reason that we want to take such an effort here is because we want to be a church that helps the next generation know that Jesus is the answer, that He is the Savior, that He is the provider, that apart from Him, there is no hope for life. And I believe that that is a mission worth pouring ourselves out for, a mission worth dedicating everything to, so that they might know that Jesus is the answer. And so if you're here today and you've never responded in faith to the invitation of Jesus for you to come, repent of your sin, and trust Him as Savior, then I would encourage you with this. Consider your life. Consider what Jesus has done on your behalf. And consider the legacy that you are leaving for those closest to you. As if you have been coming, you've been playing church, and you've just been fitting in, I get it. Listen, you must have a relationship with Jesus personally. It's not something that I can do for you. It's not something I can do for my own children. It's something that every person must come to grips with. The truth, the reality, the good news even, that God has done for us what we could have never done for ourselves. He sent His perfect Son to live the life we couldn't have lived. He died on the cross, the death that I actually deserved. And He rose again, forever bringing victory that I would have never had if not for Him. And so if you've never repented of sin, if you've never trusted Him, listen, as a parent, as a son, as a daughter, as a friend, that's the most important thing you could do. That's the wisest thing you could do, is to come and let Him be your provision, your forgiveness, your redemption. And so I would encourage you to come. I'll be here in the front. I would love to pray for you. We have our hospitality room around the corner. You can go. We'd love to spend some time visiting and sharing what God's Word says. But maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower. Maybe you love Jesus. You've given your life to Him. But as you think about your life, you would say that my life is not marked by wisdom, that there seems to be some foolishness still in there. Listen, you can come and you can pour out your heart to the Lord. He is the way of wisdom. Remember, it's about us orienting our lives around Him, which means you can come to Him. You can give Him those things that are holding you back, that continue to trip you up, and allow Him to be your wisdom. That's the good news that He's offering. And so, guys, if I can pray for you, I would love to do that. We've got others in the room that would love to as well. But whatever it is in your life, whether that's baptism like we saw earlier, praise the Lord for that. Whether it's becoming a member of the church and partnering with us in mission, maybe you're ready to serve, maybe you're ready to start giving, maybe you're ready to start going on mission. Listen, whatever it is, whatever your next step is, we want to take that step with you. So I'm going to pray for you. We're going to lift our voice. And then in a moment, Dalton will say, amen, and dismissed, have a great day, all the nice things. But that's just the end of the service. We've got to go, we've got to live this out. This is the beginning of the mission for us to put into practice what God's Word has said and what God's Word is doing in our lives. Let me pray for you. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your great love for us. Thank You for what You have poured out through Jesus on the cross. Lord, we pray for the, Father, for Vacation Bible School, for every child who will come. Lord, that You would just have Your presence be felt here in this place in a real way. That every child who comes would know that You are God, that You are good, and that You have made a way of forgiveness possible for every person who would respond in faith. Father, would You use us as a church to be light into this community? So that Magnolia would be a part of the kingdom of light, not the kingdom of darkness. Father, would you be with those in the room who are struggling with guilt over parenting or whatever that might look like? Lord, just bring healing. Bring provision into their life. Lord, this is our prayer. We love you. We cannot say thank you enough. We cannot praise you enough for who you are and what you've done. Lord, I pray that you would take us and unify us this week around this message so that we might live it out in such a way that the watching world knows that you are God and you are the answer. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.